Okay. Then on serving, oh, can you works? Can you get that ring? It's right on the mirror. In his Bhagavatam purport, Srila Prabhupada writes, one should exhibit his compassion for ignorant living entities by distributing prasadam. Distribution of prasad to the ignorant masses of people is essential for persons who make offerings to the personality of Godhead. Bhagavatam 3:29-24. That's from your place? Yeah, okay. So it's going to do you a lot more good than me. Okay. In our Sankirtan movement, or Hare Krishna movement, we offer sumptuous prasad to the deity and later distribute the same prasad to the brahmanas, the Vaishnavas, and then to the people in general. Bhagavatam 7:14-17, purport. And in his Chaitanya Charitamrita, he writes, the people who came to see the deity of Gopal brought all kinds of food to offer the deity. They brought all the food they had in stock, and they came before the deity, not only to accept prasad for themselves, but to distribute it to others. The Krishna Consciousness Movement vigorously approves this practice of preparing food, offering it to the deity, and distributing it to the general population. Chaitanya Charitamrita, Madhya Lila, 4:93 purport. So this principle is there, that of this distribution of prasadam, is that it's also very much part of the Sankirtan movement. Sometimes we may think of it, that's it's a side thing, but it's very, very important, because as Prabhupada pointed out, for the ignorant masses especially, then prasad they can relate to. Well, the books, to the lectures, maybe they can, maybe they can't, but prasad they'll always, and everybody can take, you know? Animals and this, I think it was in London, in Regent Park, the devotees went down and fed some prasad to the ducks. There's a big pond and there's a bunch of ducks, and then Prabhupada said, next life they'll take human birth. Like that. So it's very important. Serving prasad. Ideally, prasad should be served by initiated Vaishnavas. You should be pure in mind, body, habits, and dress, and perform your duties quickly, quietly, and efficiently. As much as possible, avoid loud talking and disruptive noises. Okay. So then, so we discussed this yesterday about how the senior devotees should be the ones serving, those who know something, like that. It says, initiated devotees, pure in mind, body, habits, dress, perform duties quickly, quietly, efficiently. It means that we should be walking around when we serve. It shouldn't be like a market. You walk by every person and go, rice, 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 you know, like that. Is that you somehow or another bend over, take the spoon, and it should be done in such a way that the devotees can understand what you are serving. They can see it as you go by. And it's the nature of a hungry living entity that if there's food around, they will notice it, even if it's, you know, not exactly on their plate. You know, if it's coming down the aisle, they'll notice, and they'll want. And if they don't want, they won't notice, or they'll say no. So you don't need to say so many things like that. Only if someone is totally not paying any attention to that, then you may ask them. When you talk, is that as you go, you come back, and as you see plates are getting empty and this, you start asking, what do you need? Like this. That is the important. So we shouldn't do the, you know, the Howrah Station, you know, train vendor system of serving. Or to each person, you come up to them and stop and then pronounce what you have and then wait for the interactions and all the eye contact and all the rasas and everything. And then after that, then move to the next person. And no. You just move down the line. Not so fast that no one can react, but not so slow as also that it becomes a disturbance. Otherwise, it's also a disturbance. Someone comes, you want, you say no, and then this and that, it goes and hold. You want, oh, then they look at you, you want, oh, then put this spoon in the bucket, pull some up, look at you again, then at that, and then go to put it on your plate. Before they put it, they look at you, and then they pour part of it, then look at you again, and then they still then put it back in the bucket, look again. It can be a real disturbance. You know, so one has to be able to just go and very nicely put it on the plate and everything. So also in serving prasad, we should see that the preparations to be served are hot, like that, and that, so this means that cooking must be done on time. Like if prasad is at 2 o'clock, then you cook so that you finish cooking just sometime before that, or if there's an offering or whatever it is. It's not that you come in at 9 o'clock, cook everything, finish by 10, and then walk off. That's not good, you know, and then it sits around and then everyone comes and, you know, just sticks it in, you know, you come for your buffet and then you just stick it on your paper plate, stick it in the microwave oven, push the button and then come back to hot prasadam, like that. It should be planned that the prasad will be cooked, you know, just in time for the service, you know, if possible. If not, there should be some way to keep it. Keep it nicely. Either keep it in ways it'll stay warm, keep it covered, keep it in heavier pots, keep it in the oven. Do something that it's kept proper. Okay. Now when serving, the utensils should never, the devotees or they who are serving and the utensils should never touch the plates or hands of those eating. Otherwise then you become contaminated. You have to go wash your hand, wash the spoon or whatever you're serving with. So you don't walk by standing up and with chapatis and just hold them out and the devotees reach up and take them. That is not the system. Like that. Like that. Otherwise, then who's serving becomes contaminated. Right? You come by bending over and you put it on the plate. If they want it, you put it on the plate. They shouldn't take with their hand. Like that. If it does get contaminated, or when you're serving, you touch the plate, or someone touches, then you should go wash your hand, wash the utensil, then come back to serve. Like that. Then one should very, from a close range, gently put the prasad onto the plate. It shouldn't be dropped from very high altitudes, you know, and neither should you be banging the spoon on the plate. Like that. And you should put it in a free area of the plate. Means if there's something on the plate in one place, then you put it, you know, next to that or that, but with a little bit of a gap. There's no rule that when you put one preparation, the next preparation must be put half on top of that. Then the next one half on top of that until you have 10 preparations over on one side of the plate and the other side is all empty. Then you should put them all around nicely, you know? Rice and things like that go in the middle of the plate and everything else goes all around the edges. And that makes it very, very easy. You know? Start at one place. First one goes here, the next one, next one, next one, or wherever you start like that. But find an empty place. If you know the rice goes in the middle, you don't put sabji right there unless they want it there. Like that. Yeah. So the only time you drop the, and what I mentioned about putting in the hand, the only time you put it directly in the hand is you're serving some mahaprasad, a little bit. They're coming with clean hands. You're just putting something in everybody's hand. That's okay. But when they're sitting, eating like that, then that shouldn't be done. We should also be very, very, We should also be very, very careful that we don't put things also in the salt. You have salt in the corner. We have to be very careful that nothing goes in the salt, especially sweets. I'm not sure why, but there seems to be a mystic connection between sweets and the pile of salt on the plate. You can have a whole totally empty plate. The person will go to put it in the middle of the plate And just as he gets close, there's a magnetic force that pulls his hand over to the salt, and they'll drop the gulab jamun in the salt. I've seen it happen, you know, many times over the past, you know, 25 years. That somehow or another, the salt has a magical, mystic potency to attract sweets. Either that, or it's the sweets that have the potency, and they become attracted to the salt. I'm not sure which. But in any case, one should be very, very careful not to put things in the salt. Then, except when serving sweets, water, you know, or drinks, or dry items, you should serve prasadam with a spoon. Use only your right hand to serve prasad, and do not touch anything impure, your mouth, feet, hair, lower body. Nor should you yawn, sneeze, or spit. The serving utensil should not touch anyone's feet. So things like, let's say you're serving pieces of things that are dry, like pakoras or that, you don't serve it with a spoon, you'll serve it with your fingers, you know, like that. Also sweets that are in pieces, they can be served with the hand. Things that are liquid, like sweet rice, that's served with spoons. But like you have rasgulla, gulab jamun, these kind of, it's served with the hand, like that. All these dry chapatis, they're all served with the hand. Like that. Your sabjis, your dal, your rice, you know, chutneys, any kind of liquid or semi-liquid or, you know, even solid, but it's not in pieces, then that would be served with spoons. And other things would be served with the hand. Otherwise, it's very strange. Someone comes with a, you know, a bowl of apples and they're trying to somehow or another get this apple out with the spoon. And it takes some salt. You should just forget the spoon. You just put the apple on the plate. You don't have to use the spoon to take the apple out and then serve it. Like that. Okay. You must be very conscious also just of yourself. You're not touching this, that, and other things. So that's why previously those who were trained in deity worship and that, then they would serve the prasad, because they're sensitive to these things. Because in the deity worship, you can't touch your hair, touch your cloth, or, you know, touch your mouth, or, you know, pick your nose and then touch the deity. You have to wash your hands. So you have that sensitivity to understand that, so that when you are performing, when you are serving, that you properly do it. Like that. Then, when you're serving, is better to put smaller portions, but just constantly be giving. Right? You put a little bit on the plate, and then you go around and come right back again and give again. Not so small that it's not enough that when you come back, they'll be finished. It shouldn't be just like one mouth, unless that's all they want. But you also shouldn't serve the all-in-one serving size, you know? So that's both. Those who are eating and those who are serving should have that. Means the server should be willing to keep going, serving until those who are taking prasad are satisfied. And those who are taking prasad then should be willing to eat like gentlemen. And they shouldn't do the, I will take everything I want of this preparation now because I may never see the server again in the rest of my life. You know, so that should be avoided. If you just take some and they come around and they take again, you can take it how many times you need. And the server should be willing to serve until no one wants anything more. Then they sit down. That's very important. Like that. It shouldn't be the service just go around once, twice. Like you go around once, then you say go around again. So reluctantly they go around, nobody took, and then in their mind, okay, nobody wants, they sit down. The point is if you just serve 5-6 preparations out at once, come back 3 minutes later with the same things, there's some preps that they didn't take, or they're still eating the first ones, they want to finish that before they see if they want more. So maybe they didn't take. And then the server's idea is, oh, nobody wants. No, they didn't want at that moment. You know, you go back after another 2 minutes, you'll find they do want. You know? And it shouldn't be, well, I just came through, why didn't you take then? You don't know. Until you finish, you don't know how you're going to be satisfied with that much. You want more of that. Like that. Everybody's individual. They eat you know, how they like. So that must be there. The service must be willing to go until nobody wants. And then you can ask. When you see no one's taking anything or that, you go around and start asking. Well, you need something more, what do you need? And then they either don't want anything or they want a certain preparation, then you get that for them. So like that, that is goes on. And that should be seen. Okay. So whoever's taking prasad should never have an empty plate unless it's the end of the meal. Right? They don't want any more, they finish, then the plate is empty. Otherwise, it's empty in the beginning, empty in the end, but in the middle, it should never go empty. The plates are going empty, that means the service is not going nicely. It means it's too slow, not organized enough, something's happening. Either not enough people serving, not enough qualified people serving, something is happening that it's becoming, the plate has become empty. One can also encourage, especially if it's devotees, known devotees and that, then you just serve like that. But if it's, you know, festival days or it's guests and that, you may encourage them. You sure take, no, because they may feel shy, this, that, or they don't know what the preparation is, or, you know, like that. Then you describe it, tell what it is, it's so nice, this, that. Yeah, there's one thing, it's when everyone's taking in a group, everyone in the group gets the same thing. Someone may take more, someone may take less. But you should not do separate serving or special serving people in that. Let's say you're sick and then, you know, you can only eat, you know, pistachio nuts and, you know, things like that, you know, dried fruits and, you know, whatever it is, deep fried chunks of cheese and, you know, like us, all these kind of things, and everybody else is just eating rice and dal, you know, or dal and popcorn, you know, whatever it may be, you know. So we don't come and plunk ourselves down with this whole big thing right in front of everybody. You have to eat a special diet like that, eat it somewhere else. Don't eat in front of others this way. Also in the same way as one should not be serving something to some devotees and not to others. You know, like that. It should be whatever is being served is served to everybody. Like that. That is the proper way of eating in a group. Yeah, and then sometimes if you have a big thing and you have small children, then, you know, then it should be seen that they are properly served. If need be, is let's say some program is there, it's a long program, kids can't wait, then they should be served in another place. It's not that everybody sits down together, then you may have your senior devotees, other devotees, the kids get served first. No. You always have to start, you know, in the lines, go down the lines and all that. But if kids have a difficulty, need to eat earlier, or you have somebody who's not well, they should take prasad earlier, but in another place. Like that. That's also important. Okay. Then, order of okay. Any questions on any of this? Yes. Oh, that will get to an honoring prasad. We'll discuss that just in a minute. That's coming up. That's next. Yes. Okay, then the order in which foods are served. So in the Gaudiya Vaishnava tradition, they generally begin the main meal, or like lunch, with bitter foods. The shukta, spinach, then you have dal, and then savories such as pakoras or any fried different things like this. than other vegetable preparations, generally from those who are more simple or dry up to those which are more rich and more kind of like wet with heavy gravies and things like that. Then after that you get your raitas, your chutneys, and then you finish with sweets. And generally you go from those which are less sweet to more sweet, but in that also there's a consideration of richness. Just like, to give an example, a rasgulla will be more sweet than sandesh, but a rasgulla is not as rich as sandesh. So therefore you would serve the sandesh after the rasgulla. So generally grain sweets, and then anything that's made with milk, and milk sweets. That's okay. And rice and chapatis, whatever it is that you're serving, or both, they should go from the beginning, because they're all eaten, means the vegetables and these things are all eaten either with rice or with chapatis, you know, puris, paratha, or something, either some variety of bread or some variety of rice. Like that. And your simple sabjis, bitter sabjis, dals, all these are generally taken with plain rice. And then your richer, fancier sabjis, then they may be taken with some kind of fancy rice. Some fried rice, some palau, some pushpana, like this. It's also it's a rule in the West, but it's not followed anywhere in India. Plain rice is considered first-class offering. That you have rice that all you did was put it in the boiling water and a little salt, that's considered okay. It doesn't have to be fried. It doesn't have to have a little turmeric in it. You don't have to chuck some mustard seeds in it. You don't have to drop something in it to make it special. Like that. It means it can just be plain rice and it's nice. Because the plain rice then enhances the taste of the various preparations. If the rice already has a specific flavor, then you can't actually taste the subtleties of what you eat it with. Unless it's made like a pushpana, palaus, they are made by their spicing, because they use these sweet spices, cardamom and cinnamon, that you know can use, you know, all these kind of richer things, raisins or different things like that, pieces of vegetables, fried vegetables. That will match well with vegetables that are richly cooked, like cheese sabjis, things that have been deep fried, they are nice thick gravies and like that. Those ones they'll match together. But otherwise a pushpana with shukta is a disaster. So therefore, if you want to have pushpana and you're having other things, you have to have plain rice also. Like that. In other words, you cook the preparations that match what you're eating. Right? Just like if your meal is going to be mainly, let's say you're doing something where you're mainly eating chapatis, then you won't cook totally wet sabjis that just go on a flat plate that just run all over the place. Right? You can cook wet sabji as long as you have bowls to put them in. Now if you have rice, you can cook a wet sabji, and you have rice, you can put the sabji on the rice. So you have to consider that the menu has to match properly. Then with this, you should see that you are serving the foods together that match. Those who are serving, they should know what are all the preparations. It means whoever's organizing the service should know everything, what goes with what, everything's there, how much is there, is more coming, how many people are coming, all this. And all the servers should also know all the preparations. Because otherwise so many times you find that someone's, let's say, you have some kind of pakora, and then the cook has made a special chutney to go with that pakora. And then kind of after the sweets, and somebody comes along and goes, hey, here's some chutney. And then they bring around this chutney that, you know, has nothing to do with anything, you know, I mean, unless you want to eat rasgulas with tamarind chutney or something. But, you know, I've seen this happen so many times because the servers do not know what's there, especially at feasts. Daily, maybe it's okay. They can figure out, okay, I got one big plastic garbage bag full of popcorn and I have one big, you know, aluminum pot full of dal. Okay, so now I got two preparations to serve out. But on a feast day, they may not know what's there. And so the tendency will be, is they just come in last second, sit down, you know, just start, pick up anything, start to serve, and things that go together, you know, so many times I've seen it. Somebody will cook, the cook will cook dokla, and then that goes with, you know, a certain chutney or like that, or they cook something. But nobody, the servers don't see this. So you get the chutney here, and then you get the dokla there, you get the dokla here, and then the chutney comes with the sweets, or like that, anything happens. You have to know what's there, what goes together, especially some things match. They need to go together. So one must see that those are served in that way. Like that. So the server should know what's there, what goes with what, and then see that. You know, that's important. Just like you see somebody has nothing's on their plate but some rice. So now you'll understand, well, they need something to go with the rice. So you go, you know, if you're just going by with that, they need something if it's going. But if it's near the end of the meal, then you go, okay, you go up to them and ask, what do you need? They'll say, I want this sabji, or I want some dal, or, you know, like this. Or if you see they only have sabji on the plate, there's no rice, there's no chapatis, that means they need rice or chapatis. You know? Or they have a cup of dal, but they have nothing else, that means they have to have something to eat it with. Like that. So in this way, you have to connect what goes with what and then figure out. They have a glass that normally has something to drink in it. It's empty. That means maybe they need more drink. You know? Like that we see. You know, if you see them, the plate is still full like that and they're laying down on the mat, then you know that they need a stretcher. Like this. So you have to be able to look and see what is needed for the time, right? Okay. Also, you should know, if you know the order, then you won't do stuff like devotees are eating sweets and then you come along and ask them if they want some bitter sabji, you know, or you want some dal. Oh, you like some dal with your sweet rice? Oh yes, please. You know, like that. So one has to understand, you know, how to eat and all that. In other words, those who know how to eat, those who not, then they can serve. Don't know how to eat, then it'll be difficult to serve. So then honoring prasad. When you take your meal, you should be clean, having washed your hands, feet, and mouth. Also, the sikkha should be tied. The head not covered, unless it's, you know, 20 below zero. And your feet should be bare. You know, you shouldn't have on all your socks and all kinds of other strange and wonderful things. So, those things then are all washed. It's very nice. We see that Krishna in that song. Then the devotees, they all sit and wash their hands, sit in lines, and after eating, then they wash their hands, mouth, feet. It's all in that Bhogartik song. So Krishna does all that. In the puja also, before the deities come and eat, they wash their hands, their mouth, their feet. When you're doing the technical puja, or using all the mula mantras and all the different things like that, there's no system of worship. You'll find in the Pancharatra where the deity doesn't first wash their hands and mouth their feet. Right? Like that. And then after they take prasad, again. Like that. Some get more technical into separating between the hands and mouth, the water, and some just put it together. You know, hastamukha, prakshalanam, jalam, like that. Some will do gandusham, means just rinsing the mouth. Then hasta prakshalanam, then washing the hands. Then padyam, washing the feet. You know? Generally you find them, yeah, like that. So these are always there. So the Lord is doing it. So somehow, so it's not just something fanatic. It's just called cultures. Now, you know, so that is generally the principle, then we follow it. If that doesn't work for us, then we can get down into other things, like, you know, like we mentioned before, we do it because Krishna likes it, it's the culture that, or if not, then these are the pious things, the credits you get, and if not, this is how you'll go to hell, like that. So sometimes we have to, you know, like that. So it mentions in the Ayurveda, if you don't wash your feet properly means including the heel, like that, not just the tips of the toes, but the whole foot. If you don't rinse the whole foot, then it says by rinsing the whole foot, the effects of Kali Yuga are reduced. That specifically Ayurveda mentions after. Because when you take prasad and that, then one becomes, you know, contaminated, the area, so many different things, and you're walking there, like that. So Kali Yuga means if things are not clean, then you can become contaminated. Also, one wants to see a perfect example of this, how the effects of Kali can disturb somebody, then you read in the Mahabharata the story of Maharaj Nala, which is explained, I think, by Narad Muni to Yudhishthira Maharaj while they're in the forest, means in their 12 years of exile. So there, Nala Maharaj, he didn't wash his feet properly. It means he didn't wash the heel, he only washed the front part of his foot. You know, just stuck it enough under the water to get it wet, but not to get the heel wet. Then, because his heel was contaminated, then Kali Raj, you know, the personification of Kali Yuga, entered his body through his heel, and for 12 years gave him trouble. Like that, he was the emperor, he lost the whole kingdom, he lost his wife, he lost his money, he lost everything. His beauty, everything. He became a little dwarf, hunchback. Like this, all this happened. Then after 12 years, then that went. So that's an example in the Shastras, like that. In the Bhagavatam, also we see that, what was her name? Aditi, isn't it? Wasn't it Aditi? Then she was doing some vrata. Huh? It was Diti. And then Indra was trying to figure out how to kill her child. So then one time she didn't, I think she, after eating, she was very tired, she fell asleep without washing her mouth and hands. Or she washed her hands and not her mouth. So then because the body wasn't clean, then he took the opportunity to enter the body and cut the conception up into, I think, 49 pieces. Like that. So like this, these aspects are there. Those became what? Maruts. Those are the 49 Maruts. So then, like this. So we may have our ideas, but the Lord and the material nature have theirs. So we can try to follow these things. Other aspects is you need all the, to eat, to digest, you need all the blood in your stomach. You wash your hands, your mouth, your feet. One, they refresh you. You'll see, like if you've been out walking that, you wash your feet, the whole body becomes cool, relaxed, you know, the nerves become nice, so then you can peacefully take prasad. Then also because of the coolness, the blood will move back from the extremities into the center of the body. Like this. So many aspects are there. But to save all this kind of technical, boring explanations, then generally, you know, the parents tell you wash your hands, mouth, and feet before and after you eat. Like that. So, you know, if we've had them tell us that, that's nice. And if we unfortunately came from a background where they didn't, we can learn now. Like that. Okay. Yes. Yeah, in the West they wear socks in the prasad hall, but the point is then the socks have a very unique feature. They pick up all kinds of dirt that is there. Like in India, we call them rags that we wipe the floor with. Because we use a rag because it picks up dirt, right? We don't use a rock. You know, we don't use an Achman cup or, you know, like that. But we use cloth because it works very well. And in the West, they call them mops, right? So when you wear your socks around the temple room when you're taking prasadam, means you pick up all the contamination that's in there. Then you drag it all over the temple. Then you put it inside your shoes. And then even you put on a clean pair of socks, your shoes are contaminated, and you stick them in your shoes. And then you walk that around the temple. So not even just for one day you can contaminate, but, you know, you can continue. Tomorrow you can contaminate the temple with today's prasadam. Like that. So the problem is in the West, there's a slight understanding of cleanliness from the standpoint of, I don't see any dirt or stains. It's not sticky, it's not gooey, it's not ooky. Then it's considered clean, right? But there is zero concept of purity. There's no idea of purity. You know? I think I mentioned here before. We mentioned about, you eat, and as long as you lick off your fingers and then dry them off in the back of your jeans, then they're considered clean. Because they're not sticky anymore. You lick them very nicely. You don't see, any more, tomato ketchup or this or that on your fingers. So it's considered okay. You know? Or you go to a very high-class restaurant, maybe that's a pretty gross example. You go to a high-class restaurant after eating, then they bring this little bowl with a warm water and a little piece of lemon inside, and just the ends of your fingers you kind of do like that, and then you wipe off your mouth and wipe it on your napkin. So there's no stickiness, this, that, but it's not clean as far as purity. It's contaminated. Because you've touched your mouth, you've just in the same water there's no like running water, then you just rinse it there, you know? It's like taking like a bathtub. You get in the bathtub, you scrub this, that, rinse yourself off in the water in the tub and then get out. Like that. You may have got the dirt off, but you're not actually pure. Right? There has to be some water run over the body. Then one is pure. You understand? So the West understands to some degree some cleanliness, but not purity. Like that. So because of this conditioning, we have to see that do not remain attached to such conditioning. That, well, what's the use? What's the meaning? What's the purpose? Oh, it's fanatic. In India, it's not fanatic. It's just normal. Like that. And in the West, it may be thought fanatic. I've heard many devotees that their parents or the grandparents would tell them, if you take bath, every day, let alone three times a day, you're going to get sick. Something's going to go wrong. Taking bath more than once a week is like, something's wrong. You'll get sick. It's like unnatural. It's unheard of. It's, it's not civilized. It's like, I've heard. They say many times. Especially if they're coming from cold climates, Like that. Right? What's the standard up in your place? Once a year. Oh, I see.
The last century, in modern times, it's like once or twice a year.
Once or twice. Oh, getting quite modernized. Once a year, that's pretty good. No, the Tibetans take bath twice a year. At the end of winter and the beginning of winter. Before. I saw some, and they would come down to India to sell things. So when they come down to India, then they take a bath. And they're in India for however many months it is that they sell all the things. And then as they're leaving, just before they go back up through Nepal and that, then they take another bath. And then that's it till the next year. Yeah, that's another thing. So the whole thing is that just due to the climatic conditions, and also due to just not being of a very high standard of consciousness, then these kind of traditions are developed. But we should be very careful not to remain attached to them. We understand this is just how it works. Okay. Then, yeah. Honoring Prasad. Oh, no, that's what we're doing now, isn't it? Okay. You should eat in a clean, spacious, peaceful place. If possible, avoid eating in a vehicle. Do not eat at the sandhyas, sunrise, noon, or sunset, just before. Before bathing or before performing Gayatri Japa or your morning deity worship. Also, do not eat until the food from the previous meal has been digested. Otherwise, you get sick. Maybe in the West, you don't notice it now. You just get, you know, something more amazing later. But in India, because of the tropical nature, if you eat before you've digested the last meal, then generally you get some severe reactions for that. So, in other words, the place where one eats should be very peaceful, nice, clean. You know, it shouldn't be a busy place and this and that. It should be some place where you can sit, eat nicely, and be happy. Like that. You can peacefully eat and all. And it's recommended that you know, definitely for your morning deity worship, you shouldn't be eating. Then it's best that you chant your Gayatri of that sandhya before you eat. Like that. Says here, eat with the legs crossed, not spread, and do not keep the plate in your lap, because if you put it on your lap, it becomes contaminated. Right? Ayurveda recommends sitting on the floor on an asan to take prasad, with the legs crossed to ease digestion. Anyone over 50, however, may eat while seated at a table. If there's difficulty sitting like that, then one can. But otherwise, this Ayurveda is recommending sitting on the floor, and this you can eat better. I've gone around eating in so many conditions. And unless it's a problem of you have problem with the legs, you know, you just can't deal with the prasad as nicely as you can when you're sitting on the floor with a plate on the floor and eating like that. You know, you just can't deal. You sit at these tables and, you know, the distances between, it's hard because the table's up here. It's awkward. You know, it's hard. You know, you can relax and keep your hand down and then mix things and pick things up. While at the table, it's very difficult. You know, unless what you're eating is being eaten with a spoon or something, you know, then it's not as bad. But you'll find that it's easier to eat on the floor like that. Okay. Yeah. Then eating. That says here, when someone comes where you're eating, then you should invite them also to take prasad. Ask them if they've eaten, they want to take, like that. You know? Also, generally, the Vaishnavas don't eat in public. Generally, eating, sleeping, and bathing is not done in public. You know? Bathing, though, if it's a holy place or it's a place where everybody comes to bathe, that's all right. But otherwise, you know, you don't bathe like out in the street or places where it will be seen by others. Okay. Okay. Yes.
You said you're supposed to like honor prasad and be in a peaceful place. What if you're like sitting next to someone who's like when he's eating, like maybe
noise and all that.
That isn't appealing to. Yeah.
You mean you check around to see if you're not in the goshala? Like that. That's a difficulty. Now, if you sat down and before you start eating and serving, if you figured out, then you can move. If not, just next time be very careful who you sit next to. Huh? Yeah, it says, yeah, be very careful if they've got horns and sit a little distance. Yes.
I wanted to ask you a question about speaking while taking the shower, because I read the description of the mountain and they're having a great conversation.
sessions yeah. that they take in Prasad and Vedic yeah. history, but I also heard that Srila Prabhupada was talking to devotees in a manner not to speak while they took Prasad on the
show. Yeah. Main thing is Prabhupada, you see, Prabhupada describes maunam as mean not speaking anything that's not in connection with Krishna. So if you can sit and talk and it's peaceful conversations and it's about Krishna consciousness or, you know, something light or this or that. There's also been in places where Prabhupada mentions conversation should be light, like when guests come and no heavy philosophy, no issues like that. Those things are not for prasadam. Like that, because the atmosphere should be very peaceful and all that. Otherwise, the stomach just can't adjust if the conversation is very heavy or very disturbing or like that. So you'd have to see, you know, if the manner, if that that wasn't just specifically for the manner, that the devotees were just talking and laughing and, you know, all kinds of stuff. So Prabhupada just said one should be quiet or silent, you know. And it may be, I'm not sure what he said. Silent means don't speak anything mundane. So it may be they didn't understand that and took it to mean not talk at all or like that. But we see many places, then they'll read Krishna book like that. And what I find nicer is like they'll play music like bhajans of Prabhupada or something like that. It sets a very nice atmosphere. But then if there is some conversation, you don't miss anything, you know? Because otherwise, when you hear the shastras, you should pay attention to the shastra. And then when you're eating, you should pay attention to the eating. So the general tendency is when you're eating, then you won't, it'll be very hard to hear, like that. And in any case, you'll generally find conversation will come more near the end of the meal anyway. It means those who are serious, you know, eaters. Then the first moments of eating are very serious, and one doesn't want to be disturbed in too much conversation or other things anyway, because one should concentrate. Prabhupada would sit in his room facing the wall and eat, you know, it was just him and the prasad. Like that. Yes.
Sometimes I see some devotees about eating holding left hand on the floor.
Putting the left hand on the floor. Yeah. It's generally recommended one doesn't put the left hand on the floor. We're trying to find the exact effects of it. It's very strict, means very... some of the Gaudiya... Yeah, I'd say. It's not considered proper. If you can't sit properly like this and that, and you have to, you know, so sitting on the floor, you're uncomfortable, you have to put it. It's a matter of age or health or something. But otherwise, as a tradition, as a thing, you shouldn't put the left hand on the floor. It's not proper. You should keep it on the lap somewhere. Oh, I see. Yeah. Means if not eating before the puja, does that include not honoring a small piece of prasad and that? No, you can take that little bit. Means one wouldn't, you know, make a planned kind of meal or snack or like that. Because you should be able to perform that you should be able to do that puja. One is that there should be that austerity because you're worshipping your deity, you don't eat before he eats, and he's not going to eat till the end of your puja. That's one aspect. The other aspect is that if you just eat and then go do the puja, then you'll be sitting there and you may be spaced out, especially if you ate too much, because all the blood's in the stomach instead of in the head. And then, or you may be sitting there and belching, or, you know, so many different things may be there. Okay? Okay, now I'm thinking tonight is the, you know, you would hear something. You would hear there's going to be a big thing happen. Remember, the previous years you could hear something, no? Kirtan or that. Nowadays, I guess there's so much sound. So I think we'll end just a little early tonight because, and for the next week, there's this boat festival. Radha Madhava go down to the samadhi and that. So if we end now, then you could get to the samadhi in time to see Radha Madhava in their boat festival. Like that, in the samadhi pukur. So that goes, I think, until next Tuesday. So that means the next few classes. Then we'll just, you know, end 6 like that. Around 6. That's okay. So we'll end here. We'll continue tomorrow with this offering respects to prasadam and the different rules that are there for eating and that. It just keeps going. The biggest section. Om Hare Krishna, Hare Krishna, Krishna Krishna, Hare Hare, Hare Rama, Hare Rama, Rama Rama, Hare Hare.